today in Rich in Relationship, we're going to talk about
unlocking love, which is all about unraveling self-sabotage in marriage. Do you ever feel like your marriage just isn't working? And do you sometimes notice that you're getting in your own way? And if I could let go of that, then I wouldn't need to manage my anger, because that's the source of the problem, that volcano of emotion. Welcome to another episode of Rich in Relationship. And in this episode of Rich in Relationship, we're going to explore unlocking love, which is all about unraveling self-sabotage in marriage. That's right. Self-sabotage in marriage. Do you ever feel like your marriage just isn't working? And do you sometimes notice that you're getting in your own way? Well, it's a little worse than that even. Probably about 90% of what you're blaming your spouse for is your own self-sabotage that they are reacting to. Or even worse than that, a large percentage of what you're blaming your spouse about is your misinterpretation of what they are saying or doing, which is another form of self-sabotage. So let's talk in this episode. This is the launch episode for this series on marital self-sabotage. Let's talk about, what is self-sabotage, really? And where does it come from? Why do we have these filters that seem to get in the way of our having healthy, happy relationships at times with people who we love, care for, and at least at one time trusted? In order to understand self-sabotage, understand this expression of shooting ourselves in the foot, understand how we're getting in our own way, by implication, what we need to understand is what's going on inside us. Big picture, we are 80% unconscious mind. And I want you to think of your unconscious mind as the operating system, like the operating system in your computer. If you have any kind of computer, it's got an operating system. The operating system is what the apps, the programs get loaded on top of. Without that operating system, the apps don't run. Well, without the operating system, your conscious mind doesn't run. Your conscious mind is dependent on the unconscious mind in order to function. The unconscious mind is responsible for all the things we don't think about. It does things automatically. The unconscious mind keeps our heart beating. The unconscious mind helps us breathe. The unconscious mind, when we're walking, it's automatic. We don't even think. We don't think consciously about it. Our unconscious mind handles the walking. A lot of driving is handled by the unconscious mind. And when you think about it, the unconscious mind developed in a very specific environment. So I want to take you back to birth. Or maybe you don't remember your birth, but certainly you've seen babies. Babies come into the world, and how much control do they have over their body? Their unconscious mind is running the heart. It's running the bloodstream. It's running the breathing. But babies, like, they're trying to figure out how to move their stuff in a coordinated way. That they're just trying to figure out how to make their bodies work. And it takes a while before first they have enough understanding of their nervous system to move their fingers and toes and other digits. After a while, they just think about grabbing something and their fingers reach out and grab. But it takes, there's a lot of conscious work that happens before their unconscious mind becomes competent enough to grab something. Similarly, when babies first start to crawl, you can see them really figuring it out. Oh my God, how do I put one hand out the other leg? And then eventually they start crawling like little demons. The same thing with walking, and the same thing with driving. All right, basically, we become unconsciously competent at anything that we first become consciously competent at. We think about a thing consciously, and then we internalize it unconsciously. If you're a good tennis player, it's because you've become unconsciously competent at tennis. If you're a good basketball player, it's because you've become unconsciously competent at basketball. If you're good at just about anything, your unconscious mind has huge competence and domination of that. And similarly, social skills, all right? So let's take this to social skills. When we're first born, all we're good at is crying because we have a wet diaper, or because we're hungry, or because we need love. But as we evolve and grow, we find new ways to express our needs. And this is what's at the root of self-sabotage right here. The techniques that we learn for expressing our needs in relationships are all learned in the first 7 years of life. From 0 to 7, we learn from our families how to get our emotional and physical and maybe spiritual needs met, right? They are models for us. They model what relationships are. Our parents model what relationships are. We often think, I'll never have a relationship like that. They model how to interact with one another. They model how to express ourselves, how to meet. All of that we learn from our family from 0 to 7. We learn behaviors that work pretty well in our family of origin. No matter how messed up or good your family of origin was, you learned how to get what you want there, how to get your needs met there. Some of you learned that if you want love, you just go reach out and hug your parent and get a hug. Others of you learned that if you misbehave, you're more likely to get attention because there's so many of you, your parents are at their wits' end and the only thing they show up for is problems. It's a strategy, right? We learn different strategy. Well, then we get into a relationship or a marriage with somebody who's got their own families of origin, their own strategies. And we like to think that we pick someone who is a compliment to us, but compliment doesn't always mean the same. Sometimes compliment means difference. In fact, a strong partnership like a marriage is made up of people with different backgrounds. They have shared values and vision, but they have different strength and backgrounds. They have different unconscious competencies. And their strategies for getting their needs met, their strategies for being in a marriage, their image of what it means to be a husband or a wife is different than yours. Period. The end. No matter how similar your families are, no matter what you said to each other before you got married, it's different. And when you got married, all that unconscious programming kicked in. And that, my friends, is where the self-sabotage starts. Self-sabotage is not really self-sabotage. What it really is are strategies or behaviors that we learned in our families of origin that worked then that aren't working now. Now, when you get two people in a relationship who've got a bunch of strategies that worked at one time but aren't so efficient now, and they get into a relationship together, you've got double the joy, double the pleasure, right? Double your pleasure, double your fun with double mint, double mint, double mint gum. That was a really old commercial from when I was a kid. That's probably like 60 years old, that commercial. So point being, self-sabotage or really ineffective strategies run rampant in marriages. And what we do is with our strategies, we blame the other person. With our strategies, we blame circumstances. With our strategies, we don't understand why this isn't working. It worked in our family of origin. It works in many other environments. Why isn't it working here? It must be them. That's the conclusion we draw. And this can show up as labels like fear of intimacy or communication breakdowns or financial mismanagement and all those behaviors. How we develop trust and safety, which is what leads to intimacy, are going to be different on both sides. Our style of communication and the way we listen communications are going to be different on both sides. Financial mismanagement, how we handle money, how we think about money, how we feel about money are going to be different on both sides. We may come from the same class, but have completely different strategies around money. We might be from different classes completely and have different frames around money. So what does this mean? How does this show up? Well, it's even more complicated than what I just laid out, because the truth is in a healthy marriage, you have your individual needs that are being fulfilled, we hope, and growing, and you've got your relational needs that are being fulfilled and growing. And in a happy marriage, the two sets of individual needs and growth are occurring, and the relationship needs, which are shared, are developing and growing. But now, imagine that you have all these programming and strategies from your childhood that are getting in your way as an individual. So you're going to work and you can't seem to advance at work. You've got some responsibility, some strategy you're taking to work isn't preventing that. Or yeah, it's possible you're just in the wrong job. But it's also possible that you have some responsibility. And then you go home with that frustration and you go, honey, I was at work and blah. All they hear is blah. And that triggers them, right? And that impacts the relationship. And they go home to work, or they're at home with the kids all day maybe. And they go, honey, you wouldn't believe these kids. Oh my God, I've never raised such demons before, or whatever. And the other person, all they hear is blah. And that triggers something, right? Because we want to be heard. We want to be understood. And when the other person isn't hear us because they're all wrapped up in their strategies, they're all wrapped up in their programming, and we don't hear them because we're all wrapped up in our stuff and our programming, the relationship starts to fizzle. It's not unusual, in fact, for when people start to have children, for them to feel so overwhelmed by having children that they slip into pursuing individual fulfillment. And they just show up for the kids, go do their individual thing. Show up for the kids, go do their individual thing. If you're lucky when you're in that state, you maintain date night, but a lot of people don't. And they don't even really talk about the relationship at all. They're just doing their best to keep the ship floating. And who could blame them? Nobody gave them a handbook for childbearing. Well, not only that, the handbooks they did get came from who? Their family of origin. So their unconscious mind has a whole set of programming and strategies around child rearing that are based on their experience of children that their families handed down to them. And then what happens is they start complaining that they're not supporting each other. Why are you undercutting me with the kids? Every time I try and discipline them, you undercut me. Or why is it that you're never here for the kids? Or why is it that you're always the good cop, and I always have to be the bad cop, right? All that stuff comes from our program. All that stuff comes from the way we were raised. And people have trouble getting on the same page because they were raised, what? Differently in different families. All right, so the self-sabotage can happen individually and then pollute the relationship. And what you end up with is after 15 or 20 years, you end up with a gray divorce. Or you end up with kids who now have a new set of programming about relationships that's all based on a dysfunctional relationship, that's all based on getting in your own way, self-sabotage. And so in this episode, we're going to be looking at what happens when we individually, when we're experiencing individually getting in our way in our own lives, and how does that pollute the relationship? What does it look like when we're multiple ways that we can get in our own way in the relationship? We want to have physical intimacy, but we just don't know how to ask for it. We don't know how to read the room enough to know that it's a good time or a bad time. Maybe we're men and we're so backed up about what it means to not be a toxic male that we've forgotten how important it is to use our strengths in our marriage and take the lead at times when our wives want us to take the lead. Or maybe we're the women and maybe we're having the experience of our husbands not showing up the way we would like them to show up. And we don't know how to ask him to show up in that way because we feel like as women, we should be strong leaders in our own right. We feel like as women, we should be able to negotiate this without them. And yet, there are areas where they are naturally strong and there are areas where we are naturally strong and we're having trouble leaning into our strengths because of our preconceptions about how things should be. More self-sabotage. Where's that programming coming from? That might not come from our parents. That might come from when we were in school. That might come from the wider society. It might be coming from our friends. It might be in our friend group. There's all kinds of ideas about marriage that aren't in sync with what our marriage needs. And so we're going to talk about that also. We're going to talk about the support groups that we need to create in order to stop sabotaging our marriage. We're going to talk about how do we bring into sync this disharmony between our conscious mind and our unconscious mind so that we can bring into sync the disharmony between ourselves and our partner and build a budding, growing relationship. And I want you to know that there is hope. All right. It's not like we have this unconscious mind that's screwing up our lives. It's more like we've got this programming that can be changed and adjusted. And there's a couple of ways to go at it. I'm just going to outline it. The first step in ending the destructive behavior is we identify it. Think about, all right, anger management. When people are really angry and they're expressing their anger in inappropriate ways, they're mandated to go to anger management. And anger management is all about identifying, number one, what are the triggers for your anger, right? So what are the things that really piss you off? Number two, what are some ways that I can handle my anger, express my anger that allows me to release it so that I'm not dumping it all over the people I love or getting arrested, right? Which is sometimes a reason why we end up going to anger management. And number three, how can I express my anger in a healthy way, if at all? Right. And so anger management is all about addressing the symptoms. It's a very Western approach to illness, let's call it. The other way to approach it is to get to the root. What is it in me? What is it in me? What is this well of emotion that I seem to have that is tapped so easily that if somebody cuts me off on the highway, suddenly I want to chase them down and give them peace of my mind and maybe step out with a baseball bat or a gun or whatever, you know, and straighten things out. What is that well of emotion and how do I release that? If I could let go of that, then I wouldn't need to manage my anger because that's the source of the problem, that volcano of emotion. Well, in the same way, right, when we're talking about self-sabotage or getting in our own way in our marriage, what's the number one? What's the programming? What did I learn from my parents that I'd like to unlearn or adjust? Maybe there's just a tweak I want to insert there. What are the emotions that support it? All right, the way the unconscious mind works is there's a precipitating event in which we create a strategy to avoid that pain again. And then when events like it come up, we accumulate them together. And then we accumulate feelings of hurt, sadness, fear, anger, guilt, shame. We accumulate these pockets of emotion that support this assumption that when this kind of thing happens, I need to behave this way. A way that often is not healthy in my relationship and not supporting of my marriage. And so the way to address that is to pull out the emotional stilts that are holding up that assumption and then rework that assumption. So that's the alternative to the management, right? One is to say, I have an illness, a dis-ease, and I'm going to manage it. Pain management, anger management, behavioral management. The other approach is I'm going to change within me the emotional support, beliefs, assumptions that create this whole thing so that I can enter into something new and fresh and wonderful and vibrant. I get chills just saying that. Imagine if the most pervasive, pernicious behavior that's been bothering you the most were suddenly dissolved. It disconnected. It disappeared. Imagine that. Imagine how you'd see things differently, hear things differently, feel things differently. Imagine the kind of compassion and empathy you might be able to approach your partner, the person you love the most, with the dissolution of your own stuff. You still got their stuff to deal with, but imagine the compassion you can meet it with once your own wounds are healed. That is what this series is about. And I would love to hear from you. What kind of self-sabotage are you experiencing that's getting in the way of your marriage? Is it individual self-sabotage in an area of your life like personal development, family, career, community, physical health? And how are those things impacting your intimate relationship? And I'd love to hear about what are the things in your intimate relationship where you've been dropping bombs and you notice that you've been dropping bombs? What are the things in your relationship where you've been interrupting the flow of love? Wouldn't it be amazing to just dissipate that stuff? I want to hear about it. Hey, and maybe if you want, we can even get you on the show. I'd love to do some demonstrations for the techniques that we have for dissolving the stuff and see what the impact is on your life. So reach out to me, rich@richinrelationship.com, rich@richinrelationship.com, or direct message me if you're on YouTube or one of our podcast channels, and let's see what we can get going. And look out for events that we're going to be having around this in the coming months. We're going to be doing live challenges around self-sabotage, around getting out of our own way, around self-mastery is what I like to call it. We're going to master ourselves, become partners with our unconscious mind. We're going to do events on this in the future. So keep an eye out. And I look forward to meeting you and hearing from you. And thank you for listening to Rich in Relationship.